There are many, many ways of looking at today's gospel lesson. And we'll look at some of them, but there's one in particular that I'd like to call your attention to. It's probably the thing you least think about at first. And that is the element of surprise. We kind of get caught up in all of the seeming commands that are being given here. Take care of the hungry and the thirsty and the naked and the imprisoned and so on. But we fail to see the surprise that comes to both sides, both those on the right and those on the left. You notice that they ask the great king the question, when did we see these things, and when did we do or not do the very things that you're talking about? And they are surprised to hear that answer. That answer that says, when you did or did not do it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did or you did not do it to me. And I think it's that element of surprise that is at the very heart of what we are asked to think about this morning. And we shouldn't be surprised at that if we really take to heart the whole of Scripture that we have been given, because the answer that would keep us from getting surprised is at the very outset of our Holy Scripture. It's at the very beginning of the Bible. As the book of Genesis opens, it tells the story of creation. And when we get to the point where God is creating humanity, we see very clearly something that is of great importance then and now, even at the end of time, even as this gospel lesson describes our judgment. And that reality is that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. Each and every one of us. A whole branch of Christianity that we know as Orthodoxy or Eastern Christians have great devotion to what are called icons. And in fact, when I was in seminary studying the theological notion of grace, one of the concepts that was really at the core of my understanding of that was this very reality, that human beings are icons of God. You see, because in Eastern spirituality, the icon is more than just a pretty picture. It is the very presence of that which it represents. So, for example, if it's representing one or another of the saints that have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, it not just calls to mind the memory, but makes the reality of that person's substance real right there in front of us. It's a deep, deep understanding of how we live in this world. And so to say that each and every one of us is an icon of God, that we are made in the image and the likeness of God, suddenly opens up for us a consideration of why we should not be surprised as to the answer of the great king to the query posed by the sheep and the goats. Because you see, if we deeply, deeply understand this reality, that each and every human being is made in the image and the likeness of God, we begin to understand that no matter what we do or we don't do to any human being, we are doing to an icon of God, to someone made in the image and the likeness of God. And in fact, if we really believe this understanding of image and likeness, we are doing it to God himself. Not just because God has made an equivalency and given us some sort of formula to live by. No, it is the reality. It is the reality that if we are doing something to another human being, there is something about that human being that is the very presence of God. And we are doing it to God in God's own self. And so, you see, when we hear all this about clothing and giving food and giving slaking someone's thirst and giving clothing to the naked and housing to those who are homeless, all of that is well and good. In fact, it is what we are commanded to do in a very real way, to treat one another as we would treat ourselves, to love one another as we would love ourselves. That's the command we're following, not a command to feed and to give something to drink and to clothe the naked. Those aren't commands directly. Those aren't the things we're supposed to be about. Those are the things that happen simply naturally and as the natural outgrowth of our relationship to God and our deep understanding that every other human being is a representation, a real presence of God in our midst. So we can't mix it up. We got to keep it straight in our heads that this parable, this image that Jesus is giving to those disciples when he talks about that last judgment is not about whether or not we had some sort of social work at work in our lives, but rather that we treated each and every person with the image and likeness of God. Now think about it. When's the last time you looked in a mirror? Probably this morning. If you're like me, you want to make sure that your hair isn't askew, which mine usually is in the morning. You want to make sure that you haven't got something between your teeth before you venture out into the world. You want to make sure that, you know, the beard is trimmed, and if, you know, you're the opposite gender from myself, you want to make sure that your makeup is on straight and that the lipstick is on your lips and not on the side of your cheek and all of that sort of thing. We want to present, as the Italians say, a bella figura to the world. We want to represent ourselves in our best face. Now think about that. Now that's just so that somebody sees us and they don't go like, what is wrong with them? Now think of yourself getting ready to meet some high potentate someplace. Let's say it's the president of the United States or the governor of the state or the mayor of our town or some other important figure. You probably would make sure that you were very well coiffed, that your makeup was on properly, that you had your Sunday best on. You would make sure that every detail was just so. Most of us would not be the kind of person that would simply roll out of bed and go to meet this very high and mighty person. Well, that's what this story, this gospel lesson is about. Because you see, when the power is clear, then we take the extra steps we need. Notice what the people on the left hand asked. When did we see you like this and not take care of you? They were seeing only the one with the power. And so were those on the right. They were asking the exact same question. But you see, they lived their lives in a different way. Because they saw that each and every person, as member of the family of God, as brother and sister in our human race, all of us made in the image and likeness of God, just from that very reason alone, out of that motivation alone, rose to the occasion. And when their brother or sister was in need, they did something to meet that need. Not for what they could get back, not because it was social protocol and social etiquette as it would be if we were meeting some great, great, high, powerful person. But rather, we did it because we treat each and every individual as the very presence of God. And God says to them, because you did that, you were doing it to me. Whether it was the positive side or the negative side. As an example of that, I'd just like to point out something. There was a study done, an anecdotal study, some time ago. And the report that came out of it, there was a study about people who are generally consigned to living on the street. We're not talking about anybody in particular. We're not talking about someone who's suffering from some particular malady or anything like that. It was just, you know, for whatever reason they were there. And the inquiry was about how people felt when they asked for assistance from strangers on the street. And you might think that, you know, when somebody says no to them and refuses to give them what they're asking for, they might be upset. And more than likely they were. But the most telling story was this one. It was a man, and he was someone who very regularly was on the street and asking for assistance, asking for donation or help. And he said to the person doing this study, he said, I really don't care if they don't give me anything. Sometimes people don't have it to give. I can understand that. I certainly don't. And sometimes they just don't want to, and that's okay too. What bothers me and what hurts me the most is when they just walk by and ignore me. He said, you know, that they're telling me that I don't exist, or I'm not important enough to be recognized. So even I would rather have them say, no, I'm not going to help you today, than simply walk by and not even acknowledge that I am there. Now we hear in the stories of the scriptures, in the book of Acts, for example, when Peter and John entered the temple shortly after they had seen Jesus risen from the dead and they were proclaiming this wonderful news, this beggar at the temple gate said, you know, help me, sir. And Peter said to him, I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Well, perhaps we can't do even that. Perhaps we can't work that kind of great miracle. But what is always in our power to do is to recognize the person, to acknowledge their presence, and to have a kind word for them, even if they are not kind in return to us. Because this is not a transaction. This isn't a quid pro quo, as we say in certain fields of endeavor. This is the grace of God that is being given freely to us, and we need to give freely to others. Whether or not we put a coin in their cup, whether or not we buy them a cup of coffee or a sandwich, almost becomes irrelevant if we never even acknowledge that they're there. Even if we never acknowledge that this creature is made in the image and likeness of God. And so to ignore this person, we are ignoring the presence of God. Now, is that the work of the kingdom? Is that what Jesus came to do? Is that what Jesus came to do to our world, to transform our world? I think not. And that's why the judgment of the great high king in today's gospel lesson is so severe. Because it is separating out what we think of when we think of the world and what we think of when we think of the kingdom of God. The world will say, ignore them. Put them aside. Be happy with them. Give them something if it moves you, if it makes you happy. However, the kingdom of God says, this person is the image of God. You are speaking to and addressing the High King himself in the way you respond to this individual. That's the difference. And that's why the division between the sheep and the goats becomes so dramatic and so complete. And the judgment of the great High King is so severe. Because it is a telling point. It is a measure of our ability to act like citizens of the kingdom of God. It's an everyday example that I just used. I have not always been faithful myself, and I make that confession this day. But that story comes to mind just about every time I encounter somebody on the street who asks for something. I may not always be able to help them. I may not always have the resources at hand, or I may not give them what they want, just like the beggar at the temple gate did not get what he wanted, but he got something of higher and greater value. That's the notion of the kingdom of God, that we are operating out of the love and the grace of God at all times, and that we ourselves, who are also made in the image and likeness of God, are encountering one another on that level. That's what can change the world. That's what can change our life. And so as we celebrate this day, which is dedicated to the reign of Christ, dedicated to the feast of Christ the King, puts a capstone on our life of prayer together as a community during this last liturgical year, just before we turn our attention again to the coming of Christ among us as one like us, just before that, we reflect on this reality. What is the kingdom of God? Who is the great High King in our presence? Is it the powerful and the rich in the world? Or is it the least among us? And if we truly seek to find this King, where will we look? If we truly seek to see the King present in our lives, how will we find him? That's the surprise. That it's not in the places we normally would expect. It's not in the places the world would teach us to look. But rather, among the least, among the lowest, among those who are most in need. And we help them not because it makes us feel good, but because we are helping the very presence of God become real in our world. That's the difference. And that's the difference this can make. And so when we hear this gospel story, think not so much as whether I measure up, because that's still a transaction, but say, where do I see God? Is it in the high and mighty? Or is it in the least and the lowly? And therein is where our heart will be. And as Jesus taught us, where your treasure is, there too is your heart. Let it be that it will be with all who speak to us an icon of God, the very presence and image of the Most High. So then our prayers and praises will be sincere, that our kingdom will come.